Good evening, fellas. As we get ready to look into these verses this evening, I wanted to kind of remind you of something and keep it in mind as we go through the text that we're going to be looking at tonight. That as a collection of brothers sitting here this evening, we know from the scriptures that we are the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 5, that we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And as the body of Christ, that means that we are the church of Christ. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us that in verses 22 through 23, it says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him," Jesus, "to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." In Colossians chapter 1 as well, it tells us in verse 24 that "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." So we know that just from that real quick glance that we sitting here are his church. And that any message that God has for his church, no matter where that church is intended for us here today. In Romans chapter 15, right in the beginning of verse 4, it says, "For whatever things were written before were written for your learning." So everything that we have scripturally that is addressed to the church is addressed to who? Us. The things that God through the Spirit by the hands of men has given as scriptures are for all of our benefits. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17, we know that it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is given. And we will take this understanding with us as we study this book today. As we are the body of Christ, as we are the church, every message of God to his church is to us. It is for our benefit. Amen? Will you pray with me? Father, we do thank you again, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity to get into your word. We thank you for every chance that we have to study it, to meditate on it, to pray over it, to communicate with you in regards to it. And we ask God that this evening as we look into this text that you would teach us by your Spirit, that you would encourage us and convict us as well, Lord. We ask that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 2 and 3. Jesus addresses seven churches in those two chapters. He addresses them with commendations, condemnations, exhortations, consequences, and reward. Of course, there is debate as to who these churches exactly are and when they actually existed. As a matter of fact, even Pastor Dennis addressed a little bit of that 2 weeks ago. But if we get hung up on those types of things, we will never get to, or we will get in, fall into this dangerous place of missing a profound opportunity for growth. What is important for us to understand today is that just because a church is called Thyatira doesn't mean that you and I don't have to pay attention. We read letters that are written to places like Ephesus, Philippi, Rome, Thessalonica, but we don't disregard them because we don't live there. We read letters that were written to men called Timothy and Titus and Philemon, and we don't go, "Oh, wait, that one says to Timothy, that one's not for me." So we don't look at the text that says to the church in Thyatira, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, and so on and so forth, and say, "Well, who are these churches really, and what have they done? Boy, they sure are a bunch of ding-dongs." No, no, no. It's to us. All of it is to us. So we listen. And as we look at Christ's specific attention to specific truths, or to specific churches, we know that it is for our learning. It is for our doctrine. It is for our reproof, our correction, instruction in righteousness, so that we may be complete. And it's equipping us for every good work. So as we look at this, let us reflect and consider. Let us compare ourselves to what is written in this text. Would that the Lord would reveal to us our own Christian integrity, our own Christian character, practices, and attitudes as we visit these seven churches this evening. Look with me at Revelation chapter 2. We're actually going to start in verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I know your works." You'll notice through all seven churches that this very same statement is repeated seven times in verse 2 of chapter 2, verse 9, verse 13, verse 19. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, 8, and 15, "I know your works." That is to say that Jesus sees, that Jesus is aware, and that Jesus considers all that his church gives effort to. He considers all the things that we toil in. He is aware of the things that we are doing constantly. For us, his church, this is a seven-time repeated statement, "I know your works." We must clearly understand that our actions, whether they be physical, mental, spiritual, or whatever, that they do not escape the attention of our God. In Psalm chapter 139, verses 7 through 12, it says this, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you." We are never hidden from the Lord. There is never a time where God is not paying attention. What had caught his attention here in this church of Ephesus was this. He knew their labor. He knew their patience. He knew their unwillingness to put up with evil. He knew their hatred for the Nicolaitans. He knew that they were exposing false prophets. Then he was aware of their perseverance and their tireless work for the name of Christ. The church was wise. The church was hardworking. The church was disciplined. And all of these things before God were commendable. But their efforts had become mechanical. They had become more of like a maintenance mode where they were just sustaining. There's an interesting text from the book of Jeremiah in chapter 2, verse 2, and it reads like this. "I remember you," this is God speaking, "the kindness of your youth and the love of your betrothal when you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown." In this text, God is again referring to an earlier love, an earlier state of relationship, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal. Those of us who are married tonight, I think that there is something to consider in that. When you think about, can the same thing be said about our own marriages? How many times have we heard this? Oh, the honeymoon is over. You know, you get into that place of the mechanical functions of the relationship, paying the bill.